Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mark Lichtenwalter. I am the host of Fundamentally Mormon. I just came down out of the tops of the mountains here in the utmost bounds of the Everlasting Hills, and we are going to be... Oh, my. Wow. I cannot believe that just happened. So I have these notes on my phone about what we're going to read tonight, and somehow it just all erased when I opened it. So let me see if I can find... Wow, I cannot believe that just happened. Oh, let me see if I can do this. Okay, I was able to pull it back up. Since I am where I am tonight, I am on a junction on the top of Soldier Summit in Utah, just off of Highway 6 in the parking area. I drive a semi-truck for a living, so, you know, I have to take a 30-minute break required by federal government through the Department of Transportation. So I thought, you know what, I might as well use the 30-minute break to create these short 30 to 45-minute radio programs reading different things. And if people know or have listened to my former radio show podcasts, they would know that that I enjoy reading Ogden Crouch. So we started yesterday with called Pamphlets. Now, in the show description at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon, I have posted the link to all of Ogden's books that are published online for people to read for free. We are reading in Pamphlets, and there are many of them. So we started the first pamphlet yesterday, and we're going to continue reading that tonight. So I'll just get right into it. By the way, if anybody does want to call in, the call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And let's get right into the reading. Secret combinations shall be destroyed. Book of Mormon, Book of Ether, chapter 8, verse 18 through 26 talks about this. Note, the Book of Mormon contains many prophecies pertinent to our time, one of the most significant being the one included here. It should be seriously considered by Mormons and non-Mormons alike because the condition, the existing conditions in the world today and the terrible consequences that could result. And it came to pass that they formed a secret combination, even as they of old, which combination is most abominable and wicked above all, in the sight of God. Page 6. For the Lord worketh not in secret combinations, neither doth he will that man should shed blood, but in all things hath forbidden it from the beginning of man. And like, so... You know, I know this is the Book of Mormon, which is the stick or record of the people of Ephraim, which is talked about in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the book of the stick of Joseph or the scroll of Joseph and the scroll of Judah or the record of Judah shall come together and be one in mine hand. And it's like, you know, just like Amos said, you know, it's by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Well, the Brit Hadashah in the New Testament testifies of Yeshua HaMashiach, who the Gentiles call Jesus the Christ, and so does the Book of Mormon. And it's interesting because in the Book of Lehi, it talks about how King Josiah, when he found the temple scrolls, and he got people to like follow them, he actually added many things into Torah which were not originally given to Moshe or Moses on the Mount, you know, where he received the instructions or the Torah of Yehovah. And the Book of Mormon here confirms that God does not like it when people shed blood. Let me just read this again. Neither doth he will that man should shed blood, but in all things hath forbidden it. In all things. From the beginning of man. See, people believe that Torah is correct, but according to the book of Lehi, and it's interesting because they have found the archaeological evidence of the compound where Lehi lived, south of Jerusalem. It's called Bet Lehi. Bethlehem is house of bread, right? Bet Lehi means house of Lehi. And that's an archaeological discovery. For all of those that don't think that there's any archaeology for the Book of Mormon, there are a lot. And just because the Christians like to lie about it doesn't negate the fact that there is archaeological evidence. In fact, I was just watching a video earlier today which talked about the Paleo-Hebrew or the Phoenician Hebrew things found in North America. In Las Lunas, New Mexico, the Ten Commandments is scribed, written out in one of the cliffs on I don't know if it's sandstone or what, but, you know, this is the Paleo-Hebrew that came before the Babylonian captivity, which, yeah, we have some archaeological evidence of Paleo-Hebrew, like, throughout in different places, but there's no documents because everything was destroyed. All the Hebrew that you're seeing after the block letter Hebrew, that all comes out after the Babylonian captivity. So all of King David's stuff, that was written in Paleo-Hebrew and then transcribed later on into the Babylonian Hebrew. But what I'm getting at here is that in the book of Lehi, it is written in the brass plate that Josiah and his scribes and his priests actually added many things to Torah. So there's 613 laws in Torah, and many of them are additional. God does not like it when people shed blood. In fact, one of the things in Torah, you know, a woman caught in adultery must be stoned according to the Torah. But Yeshua kept Torah perfectly, and he refused to stone the woman caught in adultery. That's just one thing. But he, Yeshua, knew Torah and kept it perfectly as an example of how we should live it. Continuing on, and now I, Moroni, do not write the manner of their oaths and combinations, for it hath been made known unto me that they are had among all people, and that they are had among the Lamanites. But they have caused the destruction of this people of whom I am now speaking, and also the destruction of the people of Nephi. And whatsoever nation shall uphold such secret combinations to get power and gain until they shall spread over the nation, behold, they shall be destroyed. For the Lord, Jehovah, will not suffer that of his saints which shall be shed by them shall always cry unto him from the ground for vengeance upon them, and yet he avenged them not. Wherefore, O ye Gentiles, O ye Goyim, all ye heathen nations, it is wisdom in Jehovah, or God, that these things should come unto you, that thereby ye may repent of your sins, teshuvah, to turn back to God, to repent, to turn back to the first works, repent of your sins, and suffer not that these murderous combinations shall get above you, which are built up to get power and gain, and the work, yea, even the work of destruction come upon you, yea, even the sword of the justice of an eternal God shall fall upon you to your overthrow and destruction, if ye shall suffer these things to be. So if you suffer that you allow secret combinations to get power over you, then you are ripe for destruction, and you should expect to be cleansed. You know, wheat and tares, well, it's going to be a great cleansing, right? Well, part of it is because of the wickedness of the people, but part of it is because they allow the wicked to rule over them. Wherefore, Jehovah hath commanded you, I'm just going to say Yehovah because it says Lord, but Joseph Smith translated it into English the best that he could. When ye shall see these things come upon you, that ye shall awake to a sense of your awful situation, which is where we are now. Because of this secret combination which shall be among you, and woe be unto it, because of the blood of them who shall or who have been slain. For they cry from the dust for vengeance upon it, and also upon those who build it up. For it cometh to pass that whosoever buildeth it up seeketh to overthrow the freedoms of all lands, page 7, all lands, nations, and countries. And it shall bring to pass the destruction of all people, for it is built up by the devil, Hasatan, or Hillel, who is the father of all lies. Even that same liar who beguiled our first parents, yea, even that same liar who hath caused man to commit murder from the beginning, who hath hardened the hearts of men, that they have murdered the prophets and stoned them and cast them out from the beginning. Wherefore I, Moroni, am commanded to write these things, that evil may be done away, and that the time may come that Satan may have no power upon the hearts of the children of men, but that they may be persuaded. So we're going to continue on with the next part of this pamphlet, the White Horse Prophecy, which is attributed to Joseph Smith between 1843 and 1844. If you want to know more about the White Horse Prophecy, just check out ogdenkraut.com and go to Read Books. And you can go down to the book White Horse Prophecy. We'll be reading from pages 19 to 25. Now, a lot of people have a problem with the White Horse Prophecy because they don't believe that it was all spoken at one time, but that it was, you know, things that Joseph said at different times, and they compiled a whole bunch of it together. Whether it was said by Joseph all at one time, or that it was things compiled because Joseph spoke these things, there's still evidence that Joseph spoke these things. So when the LDS Church wants to flip out about the White Horse Prophecy, they always say, well, somebody compiled it and it wasn't Joseph Smith. But that's a lie, because Joseph did, you know, he talked about many of these things, you know. He talked about many of these things. So whether it was all in one place or that somebody compiled it later on, it doesn't matter to me. If there's truth in it, then why should I care? So we'll read it. You will go to the Rocky Mountains, and you will see a great and mighty people established, which I will call the White Horse of Peace and Safety. Your enemies will continue to follow you with persecutions, and they will make obnoxious laws against you in Congress to destroy the White Horse, which they've done a really good job at. The United States government, or Babylon the Great, has, they would throw people in jail for living plural celestial marriage. You know, you can't have united orders. That's why there's 16 million members of the church, and they all covenant to live the law of consecration, and none of them actually have united orders. They don't do it. You know, it's partly because the IRS and the federal government will persecute you if you try to live the higher laws. Now, they can have, like, mistresses and all kinds of stuff going on, but, hey, if you live with more than one woman because you believe polygamy is essential for your salvation, then you're going to be persecuted for that. Continuing, but you will have a friend or two to defend you and overthrow and throw out the worst part of the laws so that they will not hurt much. You must continue to petition Congress all the time, but they will treat you like strangers and aliens, and they will not give you your rights yeah, in the land of the home of the free and the brave, you know, you're not free. In fact, you know, it's not only just about that. You're not free to practice your religion if they don't like it. You know, you are basically serfs on the land. You think you're free? Well, what is a serf? A lord owned a huge swath of land, and he would allow people to live on that land and to work the land, and they had to give up a certain percentage of their goods, of whatever that they did to make money, or just money, you know, so that they could live on the land. They were not free. If they did not do what they were told, if they did not keep, you know, paying the lord of the land, they would be either thrown in jail, debtor's prison, or they would be kicked off the land. Welcome to the United States of America. It's a serf plantation on a larger scale. We didn't have income taxes before 1923, I think it was. You know, and they were just fine. But they would tax everything, you know, now because they want money, power, and whatnot, and you are no longer a free people. Continuing on, you will see the Constitution of the United States almost destroyed. It will hang by a thread. In another place, it is quoted that it will hang by the thinnest of threads, and I think one place it says a silk thread, and that thread as fine as the finest silk fiber, page 8. At this point, the prophet's countenance became sad because, as he said, I love the Constitution. It was made by the inspiration of God or Jehovah. And it will be preserved and saved by the efforts of the white horse and the red horse who will combine in its defense. The white horse will raise an ensign on the tops of the mountains, where I am currently here in the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, of peace and safety, where all nations may flee unto for safety. And the time will come when the banks in every nation will fill, and only two places will be safe where people can deposit their gold and treasure. These places will be with the white horse and England's vaults. So in the nation of Deseret, which will be resurrected, and in England's vaults. A terrible revolution will take place in the land of America. Such has never been seen before. For the land will literally be left without a supreme government, and every species of wickedness will run rampant. And it will be so terrible that father will be against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. The most terrible scenes of murder and bloodshed and rapine that have ever been looked upon will take place. Peace will be taken from the earth, and there will be no peace, only in the Rocky Mountains. And at first, even the Rocky Mountains are going to be cleansed. Many of us have been shown places of safety where we will go during this cleansing time period, which north shores of Lake Powell. Of course, who knows how long it will be before these things happen. This will cause hundreds and thousands of the honest in heart of the world to gather there, not because they would be saints, but for safety and because they would not take up the sword against their neighbors. You will be so numerous that you will be in danger of famine, and not for the want of seed time and harvest, but that so many will have to be fed. Many will come with bundles under their arms to escape the calamities, and there will be no escape, only by fleeing to Zion. So in the scriptures, it talks about Zion and Jerusalem, or Jacob and Israel, or Jew and Israel, and all this whatnot. And everybody's like, oh, that's the same thing. No, it's not. In Genesis chapter 49, yet Jacob, the father of Yosef, gave him a blessing, and he said he would be a geological indicator for the land of his inheritance would be in the utmost bounds of the Everlasting Hills, which is the Rocky Mountains in North America. The Everlasting Hills being the Andes, and going all the way up from South America all the way up to the top of North America. These are the Everlasting Hills, and the utmost bounds of the Everlasting Hills is the Rocky Mountains. Let's see here. We're on page 9. Those that come to you will try and keep the laws and be one with you, for they will see your unity and the greatness of your organization. And Jehovah, or the Lord, took of the best blood of the nations and planted them on the small island, now called England or Great Britain, and gave them great powers in the nations for 1,000 years. And this power will continue with them, that they may keep the balance of power, and that they may keep Russia from usurping power over the whole world. And it's interesting, because in the 1840s, you didn't have to worry about China and Russia like you do today. But Joseph, as a prophet, prophesied that there would be great troubles because of Russia and China. England and France are now bitter enemies, for they will be allied together in order to keep Russia from conquering the world. The black horse will flee to the invaders. And this is talking about the Canaanites or the Africans that are among us. They will flee to the invaders of the Russians. And they will join... Oh, there goes my old check when I used to work for the post office. I used to deliver the mail from Provo to... Price, Utah, and then all the post offices to Emory County. I don't do that anymore, though. I got burned out winter before last. I was, oh, man, it was so messed up. Up here on Soldier Summit, it gets ridiculous in the wintertime, especially at night. Anyway, continuing. The Black Horse will flee to the invaders and will join with them, for they will have fear of becoming slaves again, knowing England does not believe in slavery. Fleeing to them, they believe they would believed would make them safe. Just let me say, as long as I am around, whatever I can do to stop slavery from happening, I will. The slavery spoken of in Torah is the slavery that the people in South America and North America. Good. You know, it's not even close to the same thing. But of course, I don't believe that all of Torah is Hashem spoken or God spoken. Like I said in the beginning of the podcast, I believe Josiah, because of the book of Lehi, that Josiah actually added many things to Torah which were an abomination. Because in Deuteronomy it says, or Devarim, it says, you shall not add to or take away from the law which I give unto you, which is Torah. Anyway, continuing. So the prophet said he would not bear to look longer upon the scene as shown him in the vision, and that he asked the Lord to close the scene. Continuing, he said, during this time, the great white horse will have gathered strength, sending out elders to get to the honest in heart of the United States to stand with the Constitution of the United States as it was given by inspiration of the Lord. In these last days, God will set up a kingdom. Never, whoa, what is this? Joseph Smith in 1843 and 1844 talking about in those days, in the future time, that God would set up a kingdom. The LDS Church wants to say, well, the kingdom's on the earth already, but guess what? A kingdom, in order to be a kingdom, has to have a leader, and it has to have a land area, and it has to have subjects, right? The LDS Church proclaims to be a kingdom within a nation, but here it says, in these days, in these last days, God will set up a kingdom, never be thrown down. So there has to be a cleansing before the kingdom is established. For other kingdoms to come unto, and these kingdoms that will not let the gospel be preached will be humbled until they will. peace and safety in the Rocky Mountains will be protected by a cordon band of the White Horse and the Red Horse, page 10. At this point, he made a pause and looking up as though the vision was still in view, he said, "There is a land beyond the Rocky Mountains," speaking of the West Coast. And just remember, 1843, 1844, didn't have problems with the Chinese at all. "That will be invaded by the heathen Chinese unless great care and protection are given. Speaking of the heathen, where there is no law, there is no condemnation, this will apply to them." Now remember, Joseph Smith is speaking of the Russians coming in, invading the nation, and the Chinese coming in and invading the nation. You ever seen the movie Red Dawn? The old one or the new one? In the old one, it was the Russians that came in, and in the new one, it was Chinese that came in. And it's going to happen. You're going to see this happen. In fact, China is building islands out in the South China Sea to where they can get their bombers and stuff within range of the United States of America. Put it right now. I just saw some news reports on it the other day. You know, they're building up their army, and they are going to do what they can to take over the world as much as they can. And what's standing in the way of them doing that? Well, both Russia and China are doing it, but the United States is standing in their way, unfortunately. It's unfortunate that they want to do that. That's what I meant. Anyway, power will be given the White Horse to rebuke nations afar off, and they will obey not, that they will be one with the White Horse. But when the law goes forth, they will obey, for the law will go forth from Zion. The last great struggle Zion will have to contend with will be when the whole of America will be made the land, or will be made the Zion of God. For opposing will be called, all those opposing will be called Gog and Magog, or Magog. These nations of the world led by the Russians are, and their people and their are in their power will be great, but the opposition will be overcome, and this land will be then the Zion of our God. So we got less than 2 minutes left on the radio program for the live streaming portion of the program, 60 seconds. If you do want to call in to listen to the rest of the live streaming so we can finish up here, you can go to call in. It's 917-889-8827. That call-in number is 917-889-8827. I don't think I can get to the studios to actually open up phone line for people to speak tonight. I'll try to do that a little bit later. But if you want to listen to the rest of the live to the program, live streaming is cut off here in just a couple seconds, and you'll be able to listen to it only by calling in and listening on the phone. So Joseph Smith established one of the fastest-growing churches in the nation and founded many cities, sent missionaries to many places throughout the world, published several books, etc. As a prophet, he literally made hundreds of prophecies, with perhaps the best-known being about the Civil War, which he died in 1844, and the Civil War started in 1863, I think. Or maybe it was the 1870s, I don't know, published about 30 years before it occurred. The southern states shall be divided against the northern states. Oh, this is continuing on with this prophecy. Being at the rebellion of South Carolina, which is spoken of in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 87, verses 3-1. Oh, that's interesting. If you want to go look that up, that's lds.org, and just go to Scriptures, and you can find the Doctrine and Covenants for free to read online for yourself. Or one of the ones that I really like, Google DNC/compare, and you can see the 1833, the 1835, the 1844, the 1872, the 1921, and the 2013 versions of the Doctrine and Covenants. And, you know, they've changed some things you know, throughout the time. They've even taken some things out. I was just listening to section 101, which is no longer in the Doctrine and Covenants about monogamy. It was actually a revelation supposedly written by Oliver Cowdery, I think it was. But it was in the 1835 and the 1844 editions of the Doctrine and Covenant before Brigham Young took it out. Anyway, continuing. Another of Joseph's prophecies, this one still yet to be fulfilled, is as follows. We're on page 11 of pamphlets by Abner Kraut. And now I am prepared to say, by the authority of Jesus Christ, or Gentile name for Yeshua, HaMashiach, that not many years shall pass away before the United States shall present such a scene of bloodshed as has not a parable in the history of our nation. Pestilence, hell, famine, and earthquake will sweep the wicked of this generation from the face of the land, from off the face of the land. To open and prepare the way for the return of the lost tribes of the house of Israel from the north country. And that is talked about in Doctrine and Covenants history of the documented history of the church, volume 1, page 315. And I think it talks about that as well in section 80, or 136 or 138 of the Doctrine and Covenants, about the utmost, the 10 lost tribes and all that stuff. Anyway, Brigham Young said, as successor to Joseph Smith, Brigham Young confirmed the prophecies of the prophet Joseph and gave several of his own, at least two which concerned the downfall of the United States. Joseph said, quote, that if they succeed in taking his life, which they did, war and confusion would come upon the nation, and they would destroy each other, and there would be mob upon mob from one end of the country to the other. Have they gotten through? No. They have only just commenced the work of wasting life and property. Journal of Discourses, Volume 10, page 255. The nation that kills the prophets of God in any age must expect to reap cursings instead of blessings, unless it is speedily repent. Judgments must begin at the house of the Lord first, and we are perfectly willing it should. I told General Kane that the government of the United States would be shivved to pieces. Journal of Discourses, Volume 12, page 119. Page 12. John Taylor said, quote, God will lay his hand upon this nation and they will feel it more terribly than ever they have done before. There will be more bloodshed, more ruin, more devastation than ever they have seen before. Journal of Discourses, Volume 20, page 318. Note, excerpts from one of John Taylor's visions as related in Edward Lunt's home, Cedar City, Utah, states he, John Taylor, saw our Salt Lake City become a great and beautiful city with cement streets and roads, and the people had become wealthy. Great, beautiful homes covered the city, and he said that the city was extended almost beyond the point of the mountain. The people had become indifferent to the counsel and vice of the authorities of the church, and they were more interested in the accumulating of wealth than they were in living their religion. And at this time, there began to be war and bloodshed, and he saw blood running down the gutters of Salt Lake as though it were water. People were fighting amongst themselves until it became so serious that the entire church records were all taken across the Colorado River. That's interesting. I've never heard that before. President Taylor said to her, Miss Lunt, or Sister Lunt, if you are alive at that time, be sure that you're not far behind the records. Oh, that is so interesting. Did you know that Lake Powell is made by a dam which is from the Colorado River? And that's where God told us to go to when things fall apart, is the northwestern shores, I believe, of the Lake Powell area. And I'm believing it's the north. He didn't tell me. He wasn't that specific. He just told me you know, that I, when those things happen, then I need to go to the north shores of the Lake Powell, or north side of Lake Powell. So, you know, this prophecy, according to what John Taylor said, was that the church would have to take their records south towards the Colorado River. So that's interesting. Anyway, see, because after the church records leave and are secure, the very powers of hell will be turned loose, and there will be such destruction that but very little life will remain. And you know what? God told me to leave the populated areas, and I was living in Spanish Fork, Utah, and we moved down to Emery County to be in an area of safety. That's why I live here. That's why I live where I live. That's why I do what I do, this truck driving job. Anyway, but not only Salt Lake, but all adjoining counties will be destroyed. The East in Missouri and in Jackson County civilization will become entirely extinct. All means of transportation, such as railroads and highways, will be destroyed. The only means of travel will be on foot, and all manufacturing of all kinds will be entirely destroyed. Be sure when you see these things come, see that you have buttons and needles and things to work with in order to make yourself clothing, thread, and cloth as far as possible, because all tools and every kind of machinery will be destroyed. And you can read more about that by going to OgdenKraut.com, clicking on Read Ogden's Books, and going to Visions of the Latter Days, pages 99 through 102. No, excerpts from the vision received by John Taylor and related by Wilford Woodruff. And I don't think I've got time to read this. Let me just go down here, see how long this is. Yeah, I'm gonna have to do this tomorrow. Yeah, so that'll be episode 7. This is episode 6 right now. But we'll have to read this here tomorrow. So anyway, if you want to read these visions, just go to OgdenKraut.com and check that out, Visions of the Latter Days. It's for free to read online for yourself. And let's see if we have anybody in the studio. I'm pretty sure I can't actually do anything with the studio because, yeah, a data connection cannot be established since a call is currently active. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, when I'm down in the valley by the power plants, I can actually check the, you know, the studio, no problem. But since, see, I was up getting coal up in the top of the mountains, which literally is like 7,500 feet. I think I'm down to 7,000 feet now where I'm at. But I was up in the top of the mountains where I couldn't get cell phone service, and I wanted to do this program, this half-an-hour break, before midnight. And so I literally had like 1 minute to spare when I parked the truck by the railroad crossing where I'm at on Highway 29, I think it is. So anyway, that's the program. Thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. Bless. Baruch Hashem. And Shalom.